Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Navigate. Is this everybody's first time, second time, third, fourth? Second time, okay. First, okay, all right. Anybody's been here all 4 years like me? I'm the veteran in the group. Well, this is exciting to have everyone here. Let's stand for a moment. We will open up in prayer, and then we'll do some introductions, and we'll get started this morning. I like to connect with people, so let us connect with each other. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've made. God, we're just rejoicing and we're glad in it. Lord, we thank you for this Navigate Conference of 2008. We thank you for everyone who has pressed their way out today. Lord, we thank you for everyone who is here at Temple Baptist Church. Lord, we just pray for your blessings upon all these many workshops and this conference experience, that we will leave better people than when we came, and that we will learn things while we're here, God, that we may impact not only our churches but our communities and this anyone that we come in contact with. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit who is now in this presence among us. Lord, just be with us throughout this day. In your name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Come on in. Come on in. Okay, so let's start with some introductions, because I don't want anybody to be strangers with each other, and part of this experience is for us to connect with each other. So we will start to my left, and if you could just kind of share with us your name and where you're from and, you know, anything else you would like to share, we'll start with you.
My name is Melissa Locklear. I'm from Concord, North Carolina. This is my first time coming to the conference.
Okay.
And I've only been going to Concord First Assembly for about a year and a half.
Okay.
So, just glad to be here. Never been to New Bern.
All right.
I've always wanted to come.
Okay.
So, nice to meet y'all. Cool. Welcome to New Bern. I'm MJ, and also from Concord First Assembly. This was the longest drive.
Amen.
You left me at a hotel to get rest. This is my second year here, and I'm very glad to be here again.
Okay.
Good. This is Kelly Head, and I'm from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Okay. I saw that sign.
And I go to Whitley Church. It's in a little town called Princeton, about 15 minutes outside of Goldsboro.
Oh.
I lead our singles ministry, the ages 18 to 39 year olds.
Uh-huh.
And this is my second year here.
Okay. Awesome. Okay.
My name is Marie, and I'm from right here.
Oh, you're at home.
Our second time, it's our first time hosting, so it's our second time to the conference. And,
okay. Well, welcome.
I'm Ruth. I'm from near Raleigh, Morrisville. North Carolina. I go to Kings Park International. I've been going there for about 8 years.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm Nelda McCoy, and I'm a member of Temple. This is my first year attending the Navigate Conference.
Okay.
I'm Myra. I'm from Temple, and it's my first year.
Okay. Great.
I'm Derek Hodges. I'm from Sanford, North Carolina, which is about 30 minutes south of Raleigh, between Pinehurst and say Apex.
Okay.
I go to a church there called Grace Chapel Church. It's a non-denominational church, and I've been facilitating divorce care for the last couple of years.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I became affiliated with the network for singles.
Okay. All right.
My name is Shannon Finney. I am from New Jersey, and I go to Victory in Christ Christian Center, which is non-denominational church as well. And I'm glad to be here. It's our first year here. Me, myself, and two other ministry partners are here. We just took over our singles ministry at our church.
So awesome. All right.
My name is Marcia Memory. I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm from Calvary Church. She's a God Fellowship. And this is the second one we hosted a couple of years ago.
Okay. Awesome.
My name is Amy, and I'm from here. And I just recently have started leading a women's Bible study among the singles in my class, so I'm excited
to. Okay. All right.
And
I'm Rebecca. I go to Temple, but I drive to Moorhead. I recommend. I live in Moorhead. Go to the beach. Moorhead City. You're down this place on every 45 minutes.
Awesome.
Go that way.
Okay. And last but not least, I am Ernest Jefferson, your facilitator for this morning. I am from Greenville, South Carolina, and I attend Bethlehem Baptist Church in Simpsonville. I am what is called the Fellowship Cluster Leader there, and basically I oversee our 9 fellowship ministries, and the single adult ministry is one of the 9. And so I'm just one night single adult. I have other responsibilities there. I'm also a facilitator within Christian education, but I have a great passion for single adult ministry. I started in single adult ministry in 1997, and just have a great desire to help develop a single adult's person in their personal walk, but also to help those who minister to single adult people as well. So it's just so exciting to see all of you here. You get the prize for coming the furthest, I think, from New Jersey. That's awesome. How did you hear about the conference from New Jersey?
Online.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Okay. Oh, praise God. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about a quiet time with God. If you would look at the front of your handout, and I'm a person that loves hymns, and in this hymn, I Come to the Garden Alone, one of the things that if you look at the chorus, it just takes some time just to meditate on that chorus for a moment, and then we're going to kind of talk about that. Okay. Now, I don't know if everybody are singers or not, so we're not going to ask us to sing this. But let's just kind of read the chorus together. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Okay, let's get some feedback. What is this saying to you? What is that saying to you? And don't be bashful, I won't bite, I promise. And there's no wrong answers. What is this saying to you?
Never leave us.
Okay, all right. And who?
God.
Okay, we want to be specific about that. Okay, so God will never leave us. And I apologize not for my handwriting. Okay. What else?
There's joy in being with
us. There is joy in our time with God. Okay. What else is it saying to you, personally?
You know, the part where it says he walks with me and he talks with me, it makes me think that he's very interactive, that he's not like a passive God. He's very active.
God is interactive. Okay, what else? Okay, we're going to do some work. Everybody's going to be talking by the end of the day. But this is a good start for us. God will never leave us. In our quiet time, our quiet time gives us joy, and also we get the experience of having an interactive God. It's not like, you know, in the Bible, where a lot of people start worshiping those idols. You know, the idols can interact with them, but we have an interactive God. Isn't that exciting to know that the creator of the universe, you know, someone that's so global and mind-blowing as our God, takes the time to have a personal relationship with us? Isn't that awesome? It's an awesome experience. Amen. Okay, now, quiet time is not easy, though. Let's see, I can come over here. Quiet time is not easy because there are some internal distractions. There are some external distractions. And if you have some paper, if you would kind of jot down some of your internal distractions and some of your external distractions, and do we have two people that have a cell phone here? Okay, any two people that have a cell phone, if y'all would stand up. If you have it with you, you have it with you. Who has it with them? Okay, all right. You and okay, all right. Okay, now y'all come here. Y'all get together, Bill. You just never know with me. Just have to hold on. child. Who wants to play the role of a parent and a child?
I'll be the child.
Okay, now we just need the parent. Okay, y'all, come on up, come on up. Okay. Now, any time that you try to have some alone time with God, there are going to be some distractions. So, we're going to say that, what's your name again?
MJ.
MJ is getting ready to try to have some alone time with God, but then her cell phone is going to ring, and somebody's going to rudely interrupt her quiet time. So, you all just kind of figure out how you're going to play that role. And then, who's the parent, who's the child? Okay, the parent, you're going to try to, you know, you've had a head day dealing with your bad child here. So, you're going to try to, you know, just get away and have some time, and you've been doing all the chores and stuff. You probably worked, and you're very tired. You just want to spend some time with God. And as soon as you try, then your child is going to interrupt that time. So we want you all to kind of act that out, and you know, we might even give you an Oscar or something, but depending on how well you do. Okay, all right. So let's flow with it. You know, let's see what y'all can do. The floor is yours.
Ring, ring.
Where's the cell phone? I thought y'all had cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of acting is that? Oh, my goodness. We got to make this real. What acting school did y'all go to? That's okay. You can play like it. As long as we see the phones, that's better. Okay. So just play like you get ready to go into prayer or something or study. Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, now you all pick up from there. Pick up from there.
What a hard day. I just need to spend some time. Yes, I'm hungry. Okay, go look in the cabinet and get some crackers and cheese, okay?
Okay, thank you. All right, let's get over here. Good job, y'all. Good job. Okay. A lot of times when we think about external distractions, the phone is normally at the top of the list. And also for our single parents or anyone who has children or kids. But there are several others, and then we're going to talk about internal, because a lot of times people don't think about internal distractions. But let's go. Did you all jot down any other things before I give you some stuff? Any type of internal or external distractions that you jotted down?
Just too tired.
And would you say that's more of an internal bound? Yes, okay. So this physically tired.
Job.
Jobs. Friends and family just popping over, just coming over, or maybe calling, or okay.
No, that's something along
the lines of emotionally drained. Or yes. Just stress in general. Uh-huh.
So,
like,
being
plugged
in, I'll look at things that need to be done and, like,
this too. Chores, yes. Just trying to figure out, how do I schedule God into my 24-hour day, which only seems like 2 hours sometimes. Okay?
Not being able to clear your mind, focus.
Yeah. Unable to clear your mind. Just have so many things on your mind, and sometimes you just like, okay, what do I focus on? Okay.
My inner voice.
Inner voice. Yes. Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Maybe things that you're passionate about, like taking your focus off. Like
External hobbies, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So that some of these can get them because you can say like your passions and just things that you know, you focus on. Sometimes that can be kind of internal or external. And then also, he said hobbies, which is, that's true as well. It's like, you know, it's so beautiful. I think I'm going to the beach and, you know, and we're going to talk about how we can combine some of these things with quiet time as well. Okay, so we have a good list to work on. So let's recap here. Internal distractions, we have physically being tired, emotionally drained, stress, unable to clear our minds. We have the inner voice, things that we're passionate about. Might be think about some of those things. External distractions, the phone, of course, kids, your job, friends, family, chores, and hobbies. So let's look at page 2 here. And I apologize for this not being numbered. I always hate going to a workshop and the facilitator's teaching is not numbered at the bottom. My apologies, but we're going to try to hang on. Okay. Someone start out reading at the top, please, the first paragraph. Okay, thank you.
Quiet time. A practice that's most commonly associated with recent spiritual awakenings is that of seeking times of silence in our lives. It's hard to hear the Spirit with all the noise around us. So many Christians have learned to take some small part of each day and set it aside for silence. This means shutting off the beeper, turning off the TV and radio, taking the phone off the hook, and closing the door. Or it means walking off to the beach or garden or mountain, as Jesus himself did, and not doing anything but leaving yourself open to the Lord.
Okay, so the goal of quiet time is for us to leave ourselves open to God. But why is it that we battle with these things? I mean, what prevents us from just turning the phone off? Sometimes, if the phone is a distraction. Now, sometimes with kids, I mean, you can't, you know, throw your kids, you know, in the closet, so you can't do that. But some of the things we can kind of handle ourselves. So if a phone is our main distraction, why can't we just turn the phone off? Is it that important, you know, that we're going to miss our friends or our family call, that it can't go to voicemail? Why do you think we have that struggle sometimes? Our priorities are wrong. And my friends kind of hate me because I'm not good at returning calls or answering the phone. I was like, that's why God created voicemail. Just leave me a voicemail and I'll return your call. So, and some of my friends, they get so aggravated, they won't even leave a voicemail. I was like, well, you know, I'll call you back in my own time. So, also with your job, if a job is a distraction, there should be some moments of time on our job that we can just go to be open of God, even if you just have to go to the restroom, you know, for 5 minutes just to have some quiet time with God. Hopefully everybody can get at least 15-minute break. I know sometimes, you know, you're just working so hard, it's hard to get a break. But this is the least little time that we can get alone with God. I'll give you an example. Last year at my job, one of my employees was just, I was like, I had to pray every day. We did not have a good relationship. And I came in early to open our office. I just had to quietly pray. And I specifically went to that employee's chair, and I prayed over her cubicle, her chair. And believe it or not, over time, it didn't happen overnight, but over time, we have a much better relationship. She and I, we tolerate each other. So it's truly a blessing, which before, we were like fire and ice last year, but God really changed things. So prayer does work in that quiet time. You do see the results of quiet time. But as she said, we have to make God a priority in our lives so we can be open to the Lord. Okay, paragraph 2. Someone read that, please. Thank you.
This time set aside for silence during the day is often called a quiet time. It's usually done first thing in the morning, but some people have been able to use their train or bus ride to work for it. Or perhaps they slip off to the neglected cubbyhole of their workplace during coffee break or lunch. I myself can't do that. I'm still too easily distracted.
Quiet time, as with other devotional activities, can help give some divine rhythm to the daily routine.
Okay, so it's easy to get caught up in the daily routine. I mean, we all have one where you know what you've got to get done, but we've got to make God a priority in our day. And there's nothing wrong with having multiple quiet times. You say, sometimes I have multiple quiet times because you just need that to have clarity and have focus and to bring that openness back to God, because we need to hear from God. And if you think about it, that the main goal is to have that relationship with God. And anyone that we have a relationship with, what do we desire most from them? Time. Time. It takes time to build effective relationship, and God wants the same from us. So we have to think of creative ways during our daily routine of how we can connect with God. And you would be surprised, because one time I just kind of took a typical schedule that listed like times from in the morning to the night, and I was just kind of jotting down some things I did throughout the day. And I was like, wow, I waste a lot of time sometimes. So a lot of times you can see where you're wasting time watching television, if you're like me, on the internet, and you know, so you can find time specifically that you can say, well, I can cut out part of my time watching TV or, you know, out, you know, outside playing, you know, sports or whatever. Or whatever you do, find some time and schedule God into your life, because we've got to make Him a priority in our lives so we can connect with Him too. And we're going to talk about some specific reasons we need to connect with God. Okay? Number three. Paragraph three. Thank you.
That takes care of outside noise, but what about inside noise? Our own mind is constantly thinking about what to do, what's going to happen, what others are thinking, and what we aspire to do or lust after. That sort of stuff is also noise, at least to our spirit. To turn that off, the ancients did something very simple. They breathe. That is, they breathe through their nose slowly, deeply, using their diaphragm, focusing their mind on the act of breathing. The body reacts to this sort of breathing by relaxing. Muscle tension fades away and blood pressure drops. The mind reacts too as the body relaxes and the thoughts focus down on the one basic action we can't shut off. Our thoughts and sensations are left behind. This leads us free to hear God whisper to us.
Okay, so that's something very simple. You know, when you're just so stressful and you're frantic, you know, just take time and, you know, just breathe, you know. This is something very simple to do. And then, you know, after you kind of settle yourself down, that just gives you some time to go into some, you know, prayer with God. You know, just talking with God, having a conversation with Him. Okay? And someone take the next paragraph, please.
Many Christians who use quiet time lead into it with a certain kind of noise, praise or intercessory prayer, prayer that asks for our needs and for the needs of others. Most of us find it easier to be silent once we take off the weight of our burdens for those we love and lay them before God. But others, especially those of a contemplative approach, find that to be too noisy, and find the first thing to do is to listen to God by silence, and then lead out of it with intercessions. Whatever order you find useful, trust that God will receive your prayers and will speak to you in the silence.
Okay. How many of you in your quiet time start your quiet time with spiritual noise, so to speak, some type of praise and music? Yeah, and that helps me as well. Either listen to music or even listening to Christian programming, radio, television. This kind of helps me, first of all, get focused, and then after I hear it, then I have time to reflect on the song I just heard or the sermon I just heard. It gives me time to start, you know, just communing with God about, you know, what I just heard, and, you know, just let it kind of, you know, get into my spirit, you know, enough so I can just really meditate and chew on what I just experienced. So, but, you know, sometimes that doesn't work for everybody. But, you know, the goal here is not to tell you a structured way to do it. It's just to let you know we need to do it one way or the other. Okay? All right, next paragraph, please.
Quiet time is more than just a daily appointment with God. It's more like a visit with your closest friend. It's especially important for those of us who have made our lives in such a way that we'd make God get an appointment to speak to us. Good relationships need the time. They can't live as just another item on the agenda, yet there are lost if time isn't especially set aside for them.
Okay. Now, think about one of your good friends, and How would you personally feel if you did not hear from them in a month? No phone call, no email, I mean nothing. I mean, you just, all of a sudden for a month, you didn't hear from them. How would that make you feel?
Neglected.
Neglected, okay. How else?
Hurt.
Hurt? Certainly. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So how do you think it makes God feel when we don't take time for Him on a daily basis, not a month? Because God knows we can't go a month, but even on a daily basis, how do you think that makes God feel? Same way, because God desires to be in a relationship with us. God doesn't need, we need God. God doesn't need us, but we need God. But God wants, He desires to connect with us. He created us. And as our Creator, He is very passionate towards us, and He loves us so much. I mean, of course, He paid the ultimate in having His Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. So that shows you how much He cares for us. So He desires to have that one-on-one time with us every day of our lives. And yet, when we get too busy, you know, we might be enjoying the very blessings that God gave us. You know, He gives us our career, and we might get so caught up in the career that we don't have time for God. You know, He gives us the career, which gives us money. You know, we might go on vacation, not even think about God. And even though everything that you have in life, everything that we are, it comes from the blessings of God. So if God has given us all those things, why can't we even take a little time every day to even thank Him, you know, for those blessings? So it really makes you think that we don't want to skip out on God, because God has feelings, and He wants us to commune with Him. Okay? Anybody have any feedback on that? Okay? All right. And the next paragraph, please.
The Apostle Paul lists some very specific reasons for why we need to have a quiet time in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." You will find all four of these reasons in what follows.
Okay, so here are some specific purposes for having quiet time. First of all, we need nourishment from God's Word to grow. If we are in the same place that we were this time last year, we're in bad shape. Because our spiritual lives is all about growth. And the more time we come in contact with God and His Word, that prompts growth, right? Because if you think about a child, how many of you have children? Who has children? Okay. Especially when the children were very young and growing. If you, as a mother, if you did not see your child growing, what concerns would you have had? Yeah, you would have been calling the doctor or somebody, all right? And how about you? I mean, if your child didn't experience growth, I mean. So it's the same in our spiritual walk. If we are struggling with the same things, you know, that we were last year, and there's just no signs of it getting better, then something is wrong. And oftentimes, it just means that we're not spending enough time with God. We're not opening ourselves to His Word to let God, you know, so to speak, work on us. Amen? All right. So we need that nourishment from God's Word to grow. And in your own personal time, there are a lot of scripture references here, so you can take time for that. But also, the second reason, relationships grow through good communication. Is anybody here married? Everybody single? I always have married people in the workshop. Okay, nobody's married today. Okay, so when you were, or if you are now, or when you were in a dating relationship, dating someone, what happens when you don't communicate?
Huh?
Chaos. Okay, what else? Drift apart.
I was going to say nothing. Like, if you don't communicate, how can you have a relationship?
Okay, that's very key. If you don't communicate, this kind of goes the fades away to nothing.
I think that is communication.
Okay.
If you don't communicate, that is communication.
you're solidly telling us something. Okay. Okay. So I mean, this is key. relationships grow through good communication. So that's what quiet, again, that's what quiet time is. Quiet time is a way for us to communicate with God. And don't be so intimidated. You know, a lot of times people are intimidated to, you know, talk to God. I mean, and there's no set form, there's no, you know, people get so, you know, they get, you got to do the V's and vows, and, you know, it's this whole routine that you have to go in, and it's not. God just wants you to open up and talk to Him. If you're tired, say, God, I'm tired. You know, if you're emotionally drained, say, God, I'm emotionally drained. That's all you got to do. I mean, there's no, this, no set format. And, you know, sometimes, some churches can make it seem that we have to approach God in such a script that way, and it just makes people so, well, I'm not there yet. And God said, no. God said, just come to me. And, you know, God, you know, tells us in His Word to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. So in any of these things that we are experiencing, we need to bring that to God. You know, in my case last year, I was going to Him a lot in my quiet time. I said, God, me and this employee do not get along, and I need some answers on how to deal with her. So that's what we have to do, okay? All right, next page. Drawing close to God shuts the world out around us. And this is something that's very difficult to do. Because in the two illustrations that we had, we saw where, you know, the phone was ringing and then a child. And there's so many other things, the internet, you know, television, you know, whatever you like to go out and do. And, you know, your friends, you know, your family calling, your family functions, friends wanting to go to the beach, go on vacation. There's so many things that are constantly battling for our attention. But like I said, a lot of times it's fine to go to the beach and go on vacation. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to maintain sanity in our lives. But, you know, while you're on the beach, there's nothing wrong with getting up early one morning and, you know, taking a prayer walk on the beach, you know, just spending some time with God. And I find that is a very cleansing way. Last year, I went on vacation to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I just had the best time sitting out there on the river and just allowing God just to speak to me and just having clarity and able to, as God was speaking to me, just writing some things down. And that just gave me such, because I'm always so peaceful when I'm on the water. I love the water. So just to be out and looking at the water and just, it just kind of, you know, you just kind of lose yourself. And I mean, it was just good. I mean, I had my phone, but it wasn't on. So it was just a perfect opportunity for me just to have some alone time with God. And God really, He really spoke to me, because at that time, when I was there last year, I was working on my second book. And I really needed to be in contact with God, and He really poured a lot of things in me, so I was able to write a lot of the book while I was just on the river, you know, spending time with Him. So that's very important. It helps us to shut the world out around us. Okay? Also very important, the next reason, we need the Word, which is our best defense against sin. It says, if you were in a battle, you couldn't defend yourself without a weapon. God's Word is a sword that defends you, us, from the enemy's attacks. When we have the Word of God in our hearts, it acts as a shield and a sword against temptations to sin. So we, again, our quiet time, we need quiet time because that is our best defense against sin. We have to be exposed to God to hear God telling us what we did wrong, and allowing God to correct us for our wrongdoings, and also allowing God to guide us to the Word of God. Because I don't care how many books people write and what magazines out there and all these great people have all this great advice, nothing beats the Word of God. Nothing beats, you know, because God's Word touches every life situation, everything from A to Z. There's nothing new under the sun. So God's Word deals with everything. And the more you study and the more you are open to God, He shows you where you can find solutions to everything that happens in life right in the Word. Okay? And also, the next part that's underlined, it says, even though it is not easy to hear correction, we know it is always a benefit. So caution, when you go in quiet time is also a time when God spanks you. How many of you have been spanked by God in quiet time before? God will spank you in quiet time. And that's good. We need that. Because again, when you look at a loving parent, any loving parent who disciplines their child, God does the same for us. When we need discipline, God gives it to us. And we need it because the word tells us again that we all have sinned and we all have come short, you know, to God's glory. So in those times when we veer off, we have to say in our quiet time, we might not even say God our best, so we might be trying to skirt around the issue, but there's something in you called the Holy Spirit that starts saying, okay, Ernest, you messed up. Either, you know, you need, and he also gives you clarity on how you need to fix it. If you need to go to someone and ask for forgiveness, or if you need to go make something right, God will. We might fight against it for a long time, but we won't have any peace. You'll find out you won't have peace until you either listen to God, and not only listen to him, but be obedient from your quiet time. But you have to spend time with God. And a lot of times, so many things go around our lives because we don't follow God's instruction. God may give us instruction in quiet time, and you'd be like, God, I ain't even feeling that right now. Like, I don't think I can do that right now, God. You know, maybe in a few months, you know, because this person really hurt me, or you know, they did me wrong on the job, so I can't do that right now. But a lot of times in your quiet time, God will tell you how you need to handle that. So we need to be open to the correction that he gives us. Okay? All right. Now, let's see where we can skip them. Go to the page that at the top it says there are three elements of an effective quiet time. Okay. Everybody there? Okay. There are three elements of an effective quiet time: Bible reading, prayer, and journaling. Before we even read about that, why do you think these three are important? Why do you think Bible reading is important in quiet time?
The word is him. Is how he speaks to us. Is what he's saying to us.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Makes the difference between a follower and a disciple.
So true. So true. Okay. All right. Why is prayer important in quiet time? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wants to hear our voice.
Yes. Okay.
What I love about the prayer time is that there's so many times when I'm like, okay, I really don't want to come here, Lord. I'm doing this, or I'm mad, or I'm tired, or whatever. And that's the time where, you know, I always start off with praises. What I am thankful for, and it just changes my attitude.
Yes.
Be more open to what God has.
So true. Okay. And how about journaling? Why is that important, do you think?
Love journaling.
Okay.
For two reasons. I look back one time when I started, I actually can't remember how long ago, and I read some of the stuff. I was like, whoa, I went through that, or I did that. And it reminds me, because, you know, we are quick to forget
what
God has done.
So true.
So that helps me. And then also, the Lord, you know, recently dealt with me about writing down what I hear from him, because, again, we're quick to forget. Mm-hmm. So that I can, you know, look back at it and remind myself of the promises he's made to me and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, there's one thing now that I've written down, and I think it's in the back, and God just takes me back to that all the time. And even though that vision hasn't come past yet, it reminds me, wait.
Yes.
So it tarries.
That's true.
It's going to happen.
So true. Okay. All right. Okay. And anybody else on the end of the three before we read?
I write prayers when I journal.
Okay.
And when you're writing and you're focused there, you don't get a lot of outside.
So true.
So you're just trying to pray.
So true.
You know, that helps a lot to start writing down.
Yes. That's true. Okay. All right. Let's just read a few things. Okay. On the Bible reading, it says, spend at least 10 to 15 minutes each day reading your Bible. Choose a Bible that you find easy and enjoyable to read. That's very important. Nothing is more frustrating than having a Bible that you have no clue what you just read. And there are so many different versions of the Bible now that everyone should be able to find, you know, one, you know, that they can really read that makes sense to you, because it doesn't help you if you read something and have no clue, you know, what you just read. It says, come up with a system of reading that works for you, and it gives us some ideas. It says you can choose a book of the Bible and read a chapter every day. You can start at the beginning of the Bible and read one chapter in the Old Testament and a chapter in the New Testament every day. You could optionally include one psalm and one proverb. You can pick your favorite passage and select suggested quiet time passages. So these are just some suggestions. I want to hear from you. What works for you? What versions of the Bible do you all use? And what method works best for you all?
Like
NIV. NIV? Okay. All right. Okay. 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 All
right. I just recently started
doing
ESV and I like it a lot.
Okay. All right. And does anyone have any specific method that you...
I actually, my pastor teaches in series.
Okay.
Oftentimes I'll take whatever message he's doing and I just dig the scriptures.
Okay.
Go through and maybe get a concordance.
Okay.
Study.
Okay. All right. Look like you were going to say something.
I was just going to say, I like to have something that's structured in front of me.
Okay.
It helps me to look at and focus.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I think what helps me the best is I'm pretty much of a topical type person, so I like to, you know, meditate on a specific topic. Then I kind of go with that and kind of read about that. I use a parallel Bible, and the parallel Bible has four different versions in it, so I can kind of look at all four versions. So that really helps me. I also have a lot of the Bibles strewn out throughout where I could, you know, maybe go pick one or the other, because sometimes different versions have their own way of speaking to you. And a lot of times the King James is great, because sometimes nothing talks to you like the King James, you know, version. Sometimes you can read something in the King James and you hear the translation, it's like, well, I really don't like how that says it. But, you know, sometimes the King James, you know, even though it's in the older type of English, but it's such a beautiful language and it speaks to us as well. Okay? All right.
The Message Bible?
The Message Bible? Okay.
I wanted to get the Amplified, mm-hmm. because of the way it kind of breaks down the old language, the Greek,
yes.
and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I like, I guess that's topical too. I mm-hmm. like to make it books like, for example, Joyce Meyer's, I picked up a book of hers called I Dare You, mm-hmm. Grace Life. So I like to get something like that